to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am not Maggie Dawn. I am Dan Schaefer. I'm your guest host this afternoon on the Civic Media Network. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to join the show, join the conversation that we're having here, the number is 855-752-4842. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We'd love to hear from you. We're also live streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform formerly known as Twitter.com. We are joined by our special guest for this portion of the show, Chris Drosner, the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine and the Beer Baron himself. We've been talking about one of the trends that we've been seeing in recent weeks and months, a number of small craft breweries in and around the Milwaukee area in particular that have been a number of them have been closing, some consolidating, but it's just a whole lot of change in the industry and it's been a little discombobulating. So Chris has been helping us make sense of what's going on. And I guess one of the questions, you know, that I had about this change is if this is reflecting some sort of larger change about how people drink and how people enjoy themselves. Is this signifying, you know, a decline of craft brewing, getting more to kind of the domestic brew, you know, Miller Bud type of beer, or people gravitating more towards seltzers or finding some other way to enjoy themselves? Is that what's happening here? Are we seeing a little bit of a decline in craft beer in general?
To all of that, we're definitely seeing a lot more competition from, you know, seltzers have been around for a few years, and there's a lot of evidence that that's kind of flattening or dipping back down. But ready to drink cocktails is one that is a big thing. These kind of pre-mixed cocktails that come in a can look a lot like beer, package a lot like beer.
Get your gin and tonic in a can and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, like the cut water spirits, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those are definitely seen as a major competitor to, you know, gut space, basically. There's only so much of this stuff that you know, people can really take. So, you know, that's definitely a big part of it. I also think that most people in the craft beer industry think that THC is having something to do with it. There's a lot of, THC seltzers that, to their credit, craft brewers are getting in on and making now that stuff is mostly legal, we'll call it.
Still a little bit of a gray area, it seems like, in Wisconsin at least.
It is,
a number of other states
and
at least seeing it significant rises in popularity, it seems.
Yeah, and that's why you're seeing the big players stay away from it. So that's creating this field for smaller breweries to try some of these products. I mean to your point, like beer it generally is down, so it's not that people are switching over to Modelo, which is now the number one beer in the country, or you know, back to Bud Light or Miller Light or whatever. I think it's more of just kind of everything else chipping away at what had always been a pretty small share of alcohol industry, and particularly and beer. You know, it was something like 10-15% of sales at its high watermark.
So it's the seltzer cutting into it. It's the cannabis water or whatever it's called.
Yeah, it's all that stuff. It's, and you know, NA beer is a part of it too. Some craft brewers are doing that too. We certainly see that in January. That's a factor in the kind of challenging time of year that breweries face this time of year.
Yeah, you were mentioning that. So this time of year that we're, you know, the deep winter months here in Milwaukee and Wisconsin, when people are not out at those street festivals going back for another round or whatever it might be. You were saying that this is a tricky time of year for breweries in general. Tell me more about that.
Every brewer that I've ever talked to says that January and February are their hardest months. Most breweries operate at a loss during those months and make up for it with, you know, summertime when, as you mentioned, all these street festivals and beer gardens and everything's going. On the macro scale, you have Miller Park or American Family Field. Sorry. You know, think of how much beer is consumed there. You know, you got 30,000 people a day in there, and that's, you know, that you can't really make that up. So it's just a slower time. Plus, it's just winter, and people don't want to go out as much. There's less disposable income after the holidays. So all these kinds, all these, plus, you know, dry January is a trend that does move the needle to some degree. So, you know,
be a factor only for, you know, even if it's just like the first couple of weeks of the month. Right.
Yeah. But I do think it's the crowd that is into dry January, I think, largely intersects with the craft beer, the people who are interested in craft beer. So, sure. That's why we have seen all this activity it's not a coincidence. This is all happening around January 1st. The banks that are looking at their loan schedules they know that they're not going to make up, that these businesses aren't going to make up lost. They're not going to get out from underwater if their business is underwater in January and February. So they're saying, okay, we're done. I mean, especially with the abrupt closures. I mean, I'm not privy to what was going on inside City Lights, but that's a pretty sudden closure.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about. I think that, what is their last day, like today or tomorrow or something like that? City Lights Brewing.
I think City Lights and Enlightened are both last day of service on Sunday.
Yeah, so that one was pretty surprising and abrupt and how quickly they closed. And I always really loved their space at City Lights. You know, when I covered that opening back in my Milwaukee Business Journal days, you know, just seeing that space and how they were putting it together was so remarkable. And that very beautiful old building that they were helping restore in the Menominee Valley. You know, you can see it on 994 when you're driving into Milwaukee and what have you. You know, that one, the abruptness of it surprised me. What exactly happened there, do you think?
Well, they had announced in spring that the Ghostmans, who own the brewery, this is their second go at a craft brewery here, announced that they were ceasing full-scale production, basically just going to keep the tap room open. They stopped their distribution, their shipments to distributors. That was back in May, I think, or April. So, you know, I guess the writing was on the wall. But you're right. I mean, that was a great spot, but maybe I always wondered about the location there being in the Industrial Valley. You know, you mentioned Third Space earlier, similar age brewery, similar scale in terms of like production capacity, at least to start, and similar location, but you know, Third Space has had the juice and City Lights just kind of didn't. And it's hard to look at these. There's so many factors that go into the way a brewery and a brewery business are run that we can't see. You know, we can see the branding, we can taste the beer, we know we may like it, we may not like it, but it may continue even if we don't like it. So but under the hood, there's so much stuff going on that we don't know about until sometimes we do, when things close and people go on Reddit and say things. So
yeah.
That's a little, I'm not sure if we air that dirty laundry here, but you know, it's
you're saying I should not pull up the subreddits right now and start now reading those comments verbatim from people who are totally, you know, legitimate sources of information. Yeah. Maybe I'm not doing that today,
well,
but
I mean,
yeah,
this person kind of put their name on it and said, and you know, and there's clear love for the job and the business and for what they were doing, but it drifts. And sometimes, you know, you can kind of hold these things of being critical and wanting it to work at the same time. And I think this was the, you know, some people take that opportunity to explain the inside story.
To get some takes off. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're just joining us, I am not Maggie Dawn. I'm filling in for Maggie Dawn. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm your guest host this afternoon. And we have been joined for the last couple segments here by Chris Strosner, who is the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine and also has been writing the Beer Baron column for, gosh, how long have you been writing the Beer Baron column now for?
Oh, 13 years, maybe?
13
like
years.
That. 14
so,
years.
So yeah, chronicling a lot of change over that time period in the brewing industry in and around Milwaukee and Wisconsin.
Yep. It's been a lot. It's been a long ride here. You know, I wrote in my year-end piece for the State Journal that, you know, ever since I've been doing this, it's been openings is all you talk about is openings and expansion. And that's never really been, I mean, for the past several years, at least, A lot of people in the industry have told me that they think that it was unsustainable, not because there's so many breweries and only so much, you know, competition and stuff, but that it's just not a healthy sign of an industry when you don't have some failure, you know. When restaurants close all the time, bars close all the time. Breweries are a little different because they have more capital investment, like all that equipment to make all the beer costs a lot of money. So you would expect a lower failure rate there, or maybe failure is the wrong word, but closure rate, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we had 13 breweries close this year, according to my friend Joel Geyer, who tracks all this stuff in Wisconsin, and then three openings. And, you know, and that leaves us with about 263 breweries. That's not an about, that's a very specific number. 263 breweries. So that's a net failure rate of about 5%. And that doesn't include city. I don't think that includes City Lights. But, you know, I mean, like, even with the churn that we've seen in the last couple of weeks, this is definitely a blip. But I think I don't know that it really changes a whole lot in terms of like the health of the industry. And certainly, you know, people have been worried. People inside the industry have been, you know, making grim faces for a while. But I don't know that this is like a like the, you know, the bubble bursting or something like that. Right. So
not exactly like a sea change.
I think that's a little bit of context to kind of keep in mind that, you know, failure is part of a normal business and industry.
Yeah.
It's definitely a good time to be buying brewery equipment if you're thinking about starting a brewery.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think also a good time to be visiting breweries. Like you said, it's not a, you know, it's a time of year that, you know, maybe people aren't out and about as much in Wisconsin. Maybe people are just staying home and having a cocktail at night or whatever it might be. But I think, you know, it's a good sign whenever, and this happens in the restaurant industry world too, people will be like, oh my gosh, how is that place going out of business? It's my favorite. No, when was the last time you were there? Well, last summer, you know, blah, 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 whatever it might be. And I think it's a good reminder that, like, if we want to keep these local places open, if we want to keep these places thriving and having a good mix of different kinds of breweries, of different kinds of places to go, it's a good reminder to, you know, go visit them, right? Go pick up a six pack at the brewery. Go spend, go buy a couple rounds with your friends out there. It could be an NA thing. You could try some of those new THC seltzers. You could do whatever you want, but it's a good time of year to get out and try something new, I think.
Yeah, this is the time to put your money where your mouth is as far as supporting your treasured local businesses. This is a good weekend to do it. And of course, I'm going to Enlighten tonight to raise one last pint there. But I'll be going to another place that's not closing next weekend. And this is the time of year to support what you care about and try to keep that sustaining for them and for us too. You know, I mean, like, I just want to have as many options as I can. And, supporting the businesses that you care about is part of that.
Yeah. Well, so the places that have survived that brewery beer boom from 2016, places like Third Space Brewing or Black Husky, go raise a pint over at one of those spots, one of those local breweries, as these so many other places are struggling. Good time to go support those. And Chris, thank you so much for joining us here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Where can we find your work?
You can look for me. If you follow me on Blue Sky, that's probably the best way to go. It's WI Beer Baron. It's on madison.com, my column. I don't do a lot of beer stuff for the magazine, but that's at milwaukeemag.com, and we'll soon have the Badger Beer Report, which is an exciting new venture coming out soon.
Good stuff, Chris. Well, thank you so much for joining us here on the Maggie Dawn Show. We'll be back switching gears a little bit after the break here. Stick with us. We'll be right back.